This one's good if it goes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cow.
Are you kidding me?
Let's it go.
He can fry an egg on his head right now. I mean, the guy's sizzling.
I guess you got to hope for a dramatic 40.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they got it. Jones. Oh,
yes.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dukich, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to the world's greatest podcast. I'm Seth Greenberg with my man Dan Dukich. He's taking a little break from Ace Hardware and DoorDash to be with us. One of the great analysts in the history of the game of college basketball. D-squared, we're to the Sweet 16. Arkansas, Oral Roberts rematch in December. Oral Roberts led by 12 at the half, but were destroyed on the glass. Justin Smith, 10 offensive rebounds, 24 points, 22 second chance points. What does Oral Roberts do differently?
Oh, man.
This and company.
Seth, I don't know how you feel about it, but the first thing you got to do is keep O'Banner and Absmus going. Now, look, we said this before, 59 against Ohio State, 55 against Florida. Here's my deal with it, Seth. If you get pounded on the backboard like that again, then that's on you as a player, because the coaches are going to show exactly what you just said. And you played them, so you know. It's not like you played them and you're going to be surprised by how big or how quick or how high Justin Smith jumps. That's not happening. You played it. So you got it first thing first. If you got any chance, those two guys have got to stay going. Let's be honest. And then you got to take care of what beat you. You don't turn it over. That's a given. Because if you turn it over against the Muskbuster going the other way and it's going to be electric, you got to get on at least. I'm not saying you got to out-rebound them 40 to 20, but you can't. The deciding factor of the game cannot be offensive rebounds. If it is, Arkansas is going to beat them again. If it isn't, and those two guys continue, I'm not saying they got to get 80. I'm just saying they got to play how they can play. Hell, one of them's the nation's leading scorer. Then I think they got a shot against a really good team. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I mean, 100%. I mean, if you're Oral Roberts, you got to say, I got to find Justin Smith. We got to cut him off the glass. I mean, that's plain and simple. But if I'm the must bus, I mean, 72% of the points for Oral Roberts are scored by two guys.
Yeah.
Cut one of those guys out. So you know what? All right, whether it's Ace Smith or O'Banner, if you cut one of those guys out, game over. So, I mean, this is really simple. I mean, this is going to be a fast-paced game. There's no doubt about it. Two of the fastest-paced teams in the country. I mean, you're either going to red deny Max Asemus, or you're going to have to put a smaller guy, which is actually a pretty good matchup for the must bus, on a banner. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You know, the funny thing is, Oral Roberts, I got this from my ace man, Jared, but they're shooting 40 and 32 from the three. They've won two games without shooting, only 40 and 32 the last two games, beyond them from the three. And yet now that, you know, for the season, they shot 39 from three. So, I mean, they've won two games without lighting it up, but those two guys have taken over the game. So who do you like in a game?
Well, I like Arkansas, but I will say this, Seth, the two times I've watched them, Oral Roberts, I didn't think that there was ever a point where Ohio State got comfortable stopping them from getting a good shot.
Yep.
I didn't think so. And then, you know, I think Florida made some mistakes, cost themselves the ball game. I do think Arkansas is going to win the game. You know, I'm fascinated by gambling lines. I'm fascinated. The gambling line in this is
sometimes
one
too fascinating.
Yeah, sometimes. The gambling line in this, the over and under in this is 159, which basically is 80 to 80. Well, it is 80-80 for the win. 81-79. That's a ton of points, Seth. I mean, that you mentioned an up-and-down game. I don't know that up-and-down game favors either team. I looked at, or, you know, people say, well, better athletes on Arkansas. I'm not mad at the athletes on Oral Roberts getting up and down for a whole game. I think they can do that. But I do think at the end of the day, I think that Arkansas has got too much, playing too well, and they're going to get the thing done.
Look, Arkansas is not relying on just two guys. They need Justin Smith to play well. And what was Indiana going to look like with Justin Smith? But I mean, it could be Moody. It could be Note. It could be Tate. It could be, you know, there's any, you know, in any number of guys for this Arkansas team that can step up and drop 20 or 25, especially the way they play, you know.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, to me, they just have more weapons. And I just think Muss's NBA experience is going to basically say, I'm going to take one of those two guys. And I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be O'Banner. I don't know if it's going to be Asmus. I would think it would be O'Banner, easier to contain, and say that dude is not beating us, plain and simple.
Yeah, I agree. And then if you do that and it's successful, but you'll be able to, I think you'll be able to tell in that game a little bit early on what kind of shots those two guys get. I think if those two guys get good shots, whether they make them or not, could be, you know, I think Arkansas will win regardless, but it could be a hell of a game if those two guys get good looks early.
Baylor, Villanova, they're just in general. I mean, Baylor turns people over. They turned Wisconsin over. No one turns Wisconsin over. Villanova doesn't turn it over, but they're playing without Colin Gillespie. I mean, you know, you're talking about a Baylor team that turns people over 25% of possessions. I thought their individual defense was suffocating against Wisconsin. I thought they turned people over just by guarding the ball and pressuring the ball. I mean, I didn't see any trickery. I didn't see any, you know, great overplay. I mean, they make it hard for you to catch the ball, but I saw individual defense, guys sitting in a stance with active hands, tracing the ball, getting deflections. I saw guys alert off the ball. No Colin Gillespie. Now all of a sudden, Jeremiah Robinson Earl becomes your point center to take the pressure off the guards, which is a good thing. Now, it'll be interesting to see how Baylor matches up with him, because I think Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua, he can move his feet against that. I'm not sure if Flo Thamba has that same ability. I could see them flipping roles a little bit. Does Villanova minus Colin Gillespie have any chance?
Well, I'm going to say they have a chance, but I don't think it's a very good chance. I think a couple of things. I think when you play against Villanova, there's a difference between playing well against them and beating them. Like, we've seen teams go down to the wire and then get beat because, well, frankly, I'm sorry, Baylor. Baylor is so connected to each other defensively, and I see a calmness of Baylor. Like, I don't see late in the game we're going to get excited. Well, let's take it from the Villanova standpoint. They don't have their leader if it gets close late in the game against a team that does exactly what you said. Now, I love Jay Wright. I watched them play the other day. They did exactly – and we talked about it in the other podcast. They did exactly what they do. Good shot, no. Great shot. Really careful with the basketball to make the right pass. That's what they do. Held on to it. Drove it when they needed to. I just think to get the job done, you need a dynamic leader at the end of a game to beat Baylor. And I just don't think without Gillespie they have it. And I see Baylor moving on. I don't know about easily, but the line is 7. That seems about right. You know, that seems like 7 to 10, somewhere in there by the end of the game. Good game early, good game for a while. Then Baylor does what Baylor does. They just move on them. And without Gillespie there, I think they get hurt in this one.
And I also think the ability to defend a three-point shot, let's face it, I mean, Villanova's going to shoot 40%+ of their shots from the three. I mean, yeah. You know, get a lot of step-in open looks from Baylor. You just don't. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Before we move on, two things I want to mention. First, check out America's Caddy on ESPN Plus, hosted by Michael Collins. Join the quick-witted longtime caddy, comedian, and ESPN golf analyst as he interviews the biggest stars in the game. America's Caddy is part travelogue, part golf history lesson, part celebrity hangout, and full of laughs, streaming now on ESPN Plus. And check out ESPN's newest podcast, Daily Wager. Daily Wager is a podcast for all your information on tonight's games and biggest plays. Listen to Daily Wager every weekday afternoon, wherever you get your podcast.
All right, Loyola, Oregon State. Here's my take on that. Oregon State's playing out of their minds. I mean, let's face it, they're shooting 40-plus from the three, and they're holding opponents to 24. That discrepancy is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. The game's going to be played at a snail's pace. I look for Oregon State to try to change up their defenses. They played a bunch of zones against Oklahoma State. They haven't done that all season long. But Loyola, Krautwig, Williamson, Braden Norris, the precision of what they do offensively and defensively. They turn you over, yet they're the most active kind of pack line defense I've seen in terms of getting deflections and getting their hands on balls. And then they don't give you second shots. They do a good job of defending the three-point line. This has the makings of a significant win for Loyola. What's your take?
I want to go back to what you said early, and that's Oregon State, Wayne Tinkle decided he's going to switch up defenses. Look, I get it. You're a man-to-man team, and you want to play man-to-man, but I'm telling you, Krautwig gets so comfortable against man-to-man in different ways, and I saw it against Illinois in person. There was nothing Illinois did to switch it up. They're a man-to-man team. They won a lot of games with man-to-man, Illinois did. But you let Krautwig get comfortable. He's one of the few bigs in the country that makes everybody better. 100%. And I mean everybody. He'll hit a shot. He'll ball screen you, get you open. You'll make a back cut on the opposite side. He'll hit it with you. I think switching defenses is going to be interesting. I don't know if can Silva hang in there. Can Silva, is he big enough? Can Callow be in there? Can those guys play out on the court? I don't know. Can their length hurt? Kofi Coburn played well, but he was back defending, and it helped everybody else. To me, you're going to have to shoot the ball if you're Oregon State. To me, I think one of the things that really – you talk about it, I talk about it, people are starting to talk about it – is there is a defensive mindset from Williamson and Norris and Krautwig and the rest that suffocates you. Like, Seth, I said this yesterday, there's three athletic guys, experienced guys. One's an All-American, for crying out loud. The other is a freshman, Cabello, but he played – you know, in men's leagues, and they couldn't do anything with Illinois. I'm talking about nothing. So I think Loyola Chicago is going to win the game unless, you know, Oregon State goes on a nuts three-point run. But I think the changing defense is going to hurt Loyola for a half at least, maybe 30 minutes.
I don't understand why more teams, especially with the clock, especially with preparing and tournament play, I just don't know why more teams aren't changing defenses.
I don't either.
All right. The Fighting Boeheims versus the Kelvin Sampson rebounding team that Grimes is playing great. Last nine games in the nine-game win streak, 21 points a game, 49 from the three. The ball's finding him in the right times. We know Houston is one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. We know Syracuse is one of the worst defensive rebounding teams in the country. But Buddy Boeheim happened, 26 a game, 6 threes a game. I mean, what he's doing – in the last six games is ridiculous. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. Can Syracuse rebound the ball well enough on the defensive end? And I know everyone tells me, well, you know, Houston's had no problem with zones in the American Conference. That's great. That's not Syracuse's zone. That's not the South Syracuse's zone. They will, and, you know, you worked on his staff. Will Kelvin Sampson red defend and play above Buddy Boeheim and not let him catch the ball? That's the big question I got.
Yes. Yeah, he's going to do that, and he should do that. Now, one thing about Buddy Boeheim is I think he's given other guys confidence, Seth. You know, all of a sudden, you know, Joe Girard's making some shots. Guerrier is making some shots. You know, Dolezal's finding. Here's the thing I say about Kelvin. I don't know. You know, Kelvin will get – no zone's going to surprise him, right? I mean, he's played against – he's been coached for 20 years. And push comes to shove, you know what they're going to do? And I don't understand why other teams don't do this. They're just going to attack. Put your head down, drive it. Three guys pound the offensive glass if they're not making shots. The thing for Houston, in my opinion, that makes them so dangerous is Grimes and Sasser. Grimes, big shot maker. Sasser can go get you 25. He can get in the lane. He can make all those difficult shots that guards from the top of the key have to make, right? Floaters, over Dolezal, layups around, left hand, right hand. I think it ends here. I do. Because I think they're playing against a team that really, it's the right way to put it, is set up against this zone. Not from a, we got six shooters around the perimeter. No, but from a, we're going to pound you, we're going to drive you, and we're going to drive you again, and we're going to pound you again. And you can't tell me, and knowing Kelvin, he'll have somebody set with freaking fire in their eyes to take on Buddy Boeheim and take him out of that ballgame. Somebody. And if not, maybe he'll change up a defense. Maybe. I don't know. but he'll have somebody. I think Houston's going to win this game. I think Houston's really good.
All right. I kind of agree. With I just, I mean, again, goes back to my philosophy. You can't let the other team's best player beat you. I mean, it's to me. I mean, you know, you can't, I mean, as a coach, you can't say, right, I'm playing against Indiana, that Dockage guy, he's lighting us up. Well, you know what? Dockage ain't beating us. Anyone else on that team can beat us, but Dockage.
I get it.
That was our game plan going into the game against Indiana, you know, in the Final Four.
Yeah, I know it was. Yeah, or make him turn it over with a minute 18 to go that I still think about. But let's move on.
Yeah, Oregon,
U.S. In fact, by the way, the anniversary of that game is today. My deceased father's birthday, March 24th. The anniversary, 1984, the worst day of my life.
Is today your pop's anniversary?
Yeah, today's my dad's birthday, yeah. Yeah, died 7 years ago in April. Anyway.
All right, well, my prayers, because your dad obviously was a great guy because he obviously had a great family. Person.
He had slippage one time.
One time he had a little slippage, but it's all right. A bunch of attorneys and judges and everything else.
Yeah, and me.
Oregon, USC. All right. Woo! First time, all right, USC wins the game. Taj Eady goes off, makes a bunch of threes. They start the game in a 15-0 run. All of a sudden, we're seeing USC defensively absolutely ridiculous. But Oregon's healthy, 12-3 with Will Richardson. You know, all of a sudden, Omarui hasn't played as well, but you got Omarui, you got Richardson, you got Chris Duarte, you got Figueroa. I mean, you got guys all over the floor that are shot makers, playmakers. You got an extended defense that controls the tempo of the game. You've got a changing defenses to keep you off balance. How does Oregon deal, though, with the length of that USC front court?
I'm a big chess player. I'm sitting at my oversized chess set right now. This is they call it a knight, but it's actually a horse. Horses, baby. USC got horses.
We got props today.
I got props. If you were going to reseed the tournament, who would be? I'm going to say Gonzaga is the number one team. Where would USC be based on how they're playing, Seth?
They wouldn't be in the same bracket as Gonzaga.
They beat Kansas by 30 plus. Kansas. Not Kansas City, the Kangaroos, Kansas. I'll tell you this. Here's what I like about the Pac-12. They don't get mad if you miss a block out. They don't get mad if you miss a switch and a guy hits a three. You know what they say? Go get 80. Go get it. This game could be 106 to 100 because these schools in the Pac-12 aren't messing around with, hey, man, you didn't block out. You got to sit down. No. You didn't block out. You gave up two. Drill a three. What? You didn't get back on defense. They laid it in. Okay. Sprint the floor and dunk on their head. I love the way the Pac-12 is playing in this. This game could be 120. I'm not picking against USC. I think Oregon was great. I think Oregon, we both liked Iowa. And Oregon's got five guys in double figures or four guys. Durante and all those guys can really score. But I'm not picking against the Mobley brothers, particularly Isaiah. I know Evan's the guy, but man, Isaiah Mobley at 6'10".
Bumpers.
Woo!
Now, let me ask you this. See, I agree with what you said, but USC's defense is elite. That's
elite. It is elite, yes.
They can guard the ball in the perimeter. They have length up front. They have versatility in their defense. They're alert off the ball. USC's defense is elite. I'm interested to see if their guard play holds up. That's my only concern with them.
All right, let me ask you this. USC's defense is elite. How many points does USC have to score to win this game?
I think they got to score 75.
I was going to say 75 to 80 to win. Now, that's with an elite defense, a hot defense. This is going to be a great game. I think it's, 1 o'clock in the morning, I think it's coming on, something like that.
It's one of those late nighters.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying it to me is going to be a fun game. Look, USC to me, those guys get on the glass, they guard, they play hard. Oregon, I thought, looked great against Iowa, getting the ball down the floor, fearless corner shooters, fearless. I'm going to take USC just because, hey, look, you beat Kansas by 35. I like you. I'm not picking you to lose the next time out. Period.
I don't think that Kansas team was vintage Kansas.
Me neither. I mean, they were bad, actually.
They were bad. All right, Creighton, Gonzaga. I look at this game as two teams like looking in the mirror. Now, obviously, Gonzaga plays faster, but both play with that spread offense, both play in flow, both play with floor gamers all over the floor. Obviously, Timmy's different. They're going to make Timmy defend on the perimeter. I do like Christian Bishop as a defender, though. I think Christian Bishop has good enough feet and quick enough to maybe make it hard on him. I think an interesting matchup at the point guard position, obviously, with Suggs and Zagorowski, who's been very aggressive. I like the toughness of this Creighton team, whether it's Mahoney, whether it's Jefferson. I mean, those guys, there's no back down in those two dudes. And I like that we've seen a team rally after potentially a disastrous situation with a poor decision by Coach Mack. So, I mean, a choice of words. And obviously those guys don't believe those words reflect the person he is. So, you know, Gonzaga's pace, 14 seconds, over 50 points a game in the paint. Timmy's a killer with his footwork. Creighton have any shot, you think?
I don't. I don't think you can speed Gonzaga up. Like, I looked at, and to me, anyway, if I were going to play Gonzaga, I might give up some layups. But I'm telling my team, you know, usually it's all-out help the way coached and played. I'm telling my team, no more than 1 foot in the paint opposite the ball. Guard your own. You got to keep your own in front of you, because when you start helping, Seth, honest to God, like I was watching the BYU-Gonzaga game. It was 14-point lead for BYU at halftime. I turned my head by the first TV timeout. It was a three-point game because you overhelp, they hit a three. You come over, you think you're going to block a shot, they're on the backboard. I would make my guy guard. I would make each guy have to beat my guy. Now, I do think Creighton can do that. I don't think Creighton can speed Gonzaga up, because I think the point guard and the rest for Gonzaga, Suggs and the rest are that good. But I do think this, I do think if you can somehow, some way eliminate two things, eliminate the overhelp three and eliminate the offensive rebound kick out three and just make them shoot twos as best you possibly can, you got a shot, because Creighton's going to score. I mean, McDermott is offensive coach.
They
He's going to get the ball down.
51 points a game in the paint, man. They
right.
Like, I mean, to me, Maybe I'm crazy. Like I think that the fascinating thing about this is on the other end. I think if you're Creighton, all right, Ballup's got to make 6-7 threes. And then you've got to match up at the four. Can Denzel Mahoney or Jefferson, can they guard Kispert at the four? That's my question.
My thing is this, all right? You got to run with them, right? If you don't run with them, they're gonna you know, throw it ahead, because Kispert will run. You got to run to the wing with him. And I swear to God, Seth, I swear to God, if you let them click their heels, whether you've overhelped or whatever, you're not going to have enough offense, because they'll go get 95 on you. This has a chance for one of the great upsets in college basketball, though. It's not going to be done in the 50s. It's going to have to be one of those 90 to 88 games. And if, what you said about making threes and that kind of stuff on the offensive end, they got a shot, because this is not a one-dimensional team in Creighton. And right. You're not beating Gonzaga one-dimensional with only paint touches or only threes. You're not. But
yeah, I think Bishop can get some rolls. He plays above the rim. He can get some rolls. I think he can get some early transition. I think Zagorowski can obviously shoot the three. I think Mahoney can shoot the three. I think Ballack is the key. Like, if Ballack gets it going, Ballack makes one or two early, he might make six. And I think that's going to be the interesting thing. So I'm interested to watch it. How about, all right, Michigan FSU, Dan? I think this is the best matchup of the weekend, because I think Copravisa and Hunter, good matchup. I think that'll be interesting to see who they put on Scotty Barnes. Do they put Franz Wagner on Scotty Barnes? Because, you're not putting Smith on Scotty Barnes. I'm sorry. Just not happening when he's at the point. Then the whole dilemma of what you give, what you're going to take away in a scouting report, that's what makes, to me, Florida State so tough. And then, like, Shaun D. Brown at 21 coming off the bench. And I thought it was brilliant by Juwan Howard bringing him off the bench so that he only had to change one position. That was the starting position. Can you count on him in this game against likes type athletes? that are more disciplined defensively? Here's that's my question.
Well, they're way more disciplined defensively because when you watch, I went back and watched that Michigan game. I was there. Sometimes when you're there, you're talking, whatever. I went back and watched it. Man, LSU was flying through passing lanes trying to get stuff done. Here's what I see, Seth. If I'm scouting that game and I'm Leonard Hamilton and I'm Coach Jones and the rest of their staff, I got to do something with Mike Smith. I got to pick him up. I got to pressure him. Mike Smith did not handle LSU's pressure very good at all. In fact, in person, Mike Smith was a lot slower than I thought he was. Like, I thought he was a jet. He's not. You've got to get into him. And I think if you get into him and put the basketball even 2 feet farther out on the perimeter, make for tough catches. It's harder to feed the post. The post is always there. Like, Hunter Dickinson is always the outlet. Krautwig for Loyola is the outlet at the top of the key. Yep. Dickinson is the outlet on the block. Yep. So how do you play it? Well, you got to have great post defense. You mentioned the big guys. But, Seth, I swear to God, you got length. Use it on the wings to deny the ball. You pick up Smith and you make it difficult. I swear to God, he'll turn it over a few times. That's how I think Florida State wins a game. If they don't do that and Michigan can get in their offense and move it, whether it's Shondi Brown, it might be Eli Brooks who hit a bunch of threes and played great. Yeah, but you have to, Seth, you got to pressure Mike Smith in this game. If I was sitting in a coach's meeting, I would have first thing I would do with my head coach would be I would have a video of how to take Mike Smith and get him under wraps, get him into pressure and show how he's turned the ball over, because I swear to God he will, Seth. And to your other point the other day, zero turnovers for LSU in the first half against Michigan. They're not turning you over. So, hey, look, good shot to great shot. Let's get a great shot, not a good shot. Let's get everything going to the rim. Let's expose Dickinson to maybe some fouls so now Davis has to come in. But I swear to God, I think it starts and stops with Mike Smith picking him up and pressuring the hell out of him.
They're going
to
do that no matter what, because that's what Florida State does. They're going to extend their defense. They're going
to
extend their defense. I mean, that's kind of the whole philosophy of playing the 11 guys and wearing people down and getting them up and underneath people. So I just think that game in general, I think that Copervisa and Dickinson's going to be a really good matchup. I think the decision of who you're going to match up with Scotty Barnes when he's at the point. I think Raekwon Gray is a really, really difficult matchup because they'll throw him down into the post. So
that's where Livers being out hurts. Livers has the body type for Raekwon Gray. He's got the body type. He can play him in the post. He can keep him off the board. That's where, and this is what I said about Michigan, Livers being out, they got to overcome it in a game, and this is a game, and that's the kid.
Yeah, and like my if you put Wagner on Barnes, then Smith's got to guard someone, and as you start to move down the lineup, it really becomes a problem in getting matched up with Raekwon. Because they'll run Raekwon right into the post. They'll run Scotty right into the post. They'll run MJ Walker right into the post. I mean, they have things that they can do that. That's going to be just a fascinating game. All right, final game. Opposites attract. UCLA, Alabama. UCLA, not a great individual defensive team, shooting the crap out of it. Jaime Jaquez, your favorite player, is as tough a dude as there is. Cody Riley play much better than people realize. Can they guard? Can Tiger Campbell and Johnny Juzang defend the perimeter guys of Alabama? Who do they get matched up with? Herb Jones, because I think Herb Jones is one. I like to me, he's a guy in his own way. And this sounds really stupid. In his own way, he's a guy that can go on a Kemba type run and get them to the Final Four by getting
in his own way.
Like getting a defense. Yeah. The ball just finds the dude late in games. You know, I mean, he's not going to do it by just knocking out 100 threes. He's going to do it by doing a little bit of everything. Does that make sense?
I think it makes total sense. My guy, Jaime Jaquez, you know who he reminds me of? He's got a burst that he doesn't run great, but in half court, moving his feet, man, that dude has a burst. He reminds me of Gordon Hayward. He reminds me, when I saw Gordon Hayward, I was sitting with Brad Stevens at practice. I go, damn, I didn't know he had that kind of pop to him. Jaquez has that kind of pop. He's going to have to use it on the defensive end if he matches up against Herb Jones. He can't foul. He's got to keep him in front, and he's got to make him shoot jump shots. Petty's the interesting one for me. Petty's an older guy. Petty can shoot it. He's long. He's athletic. You got to make sure that he doesn't stifle you defensively. I'm not counting. I know that Alabama is, I call them quick strike. Like Maryland's going along, playing a game. Next thing you know, it's a 7-point deficit from a 4-point lead.
Yeah.
And boom, the game's over. Going to have to make a bunch of shots from Zhang. Going to have to handle it from Campbell. My guy is going to have to play his brains out. I don't think they can. I don't think UCLA can beat Alabama. I think Alabama is as put together a team as there is, and I agree with you on Herb Jones. But I do think Petty is a key here. I think Petty can switch off to different guys. He can guard both of the guys that I'm talking about, probably can guard Tiger Campbell too. Is Primus back? Do we know?
I don't know about that. Here's my thing with Petty. He's feast or famine. Like, he's either making shots or, like, yeah. When they lose, he's in la-la land. Like, he's
just, I don't know about la-la land. I just don't think – like, I think he plays hard, and I think he defends and he does all that. But I agree with you. I mean, look, they've got guy. I mean, in this – let me ask you a question. When you name – all right, the top four guys on each team, which team can have one of those four guys not play well and win in a game here? Like, that's what I mean about Petty. Okay. Like, I think every one of these teams.
Baylor can have a guy take a backcourt.
Florida State can too, right?
Florida State can. Arkansas can't play without Smith. I that guy can't have an off
day. That's what I'm saying about Petty.
Foul trouble.
That's what I'm saying about Petty. So you could say that about anybody. If he doesn't play, like, to me, at this time, I go back to players, not plays. Sure, system, scheme, it's important. I get it. But damn. So Petty plays, Jones play. I mean, Shackelford plays well. You're hard to handle, man. I mean, and you can say that about every one of these teams. If one or two of the top four guys don't play well, it's over. You're done. You're going home. I don't care who you are.
No, I agree. I agree. That's just basketball, man.
Right. Right.
You need that's a good just to play well. You know what's amazing? We just gave America just a treat. I mean, we just gave them a treat because we just basically broke down the NCAA tournament Sweet 16 to a T. It's incredible. The world's greatest podcast never disappoints. We always deliver, as do you.
Yeah, I do.
So please give him a good tip.
Give me a good tip.
Ask for Dan in Indianapolis.
Hey, and join Seth and I. We'll be on Saturday on College Sports Channel 84 on Sirius XM Radio.
Yes, of course. 9:30. I'll be there. Bell's on. Can't wait. Break it down. The Coach Whisperer will be spewing knowledge.
Yes, sir.
And you will have probably every good guest in the history of the game because you have turned in to the Coach Whisperer.
We are going to try, since Michigan's around, we're efforting Duncan Robinson. I want to get his take on not only his electric stardom, but Michigan, being a Michigan guy. What's going on at Michigan? How happy are they with Juwan? That kind of thing. Well, they better be happy with Juwan.
You can't get Duncan. If Junior can't get Duncan, he's off scholarship.
100%. Paying his own car, paying his own car insurance. I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear
it. In fact, I'm going to text him right now. I need Duncan Saturday morning.
You tell him, I said, if he can't take care of that, he's done. Jackie Greenberg's done with him too.
Everybody.
Done.
No soup for you.
Thanks for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. Check out more great podcasts from ESPN on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.